This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing. Three ball. Perfect. Garland front of the lane. Locked the Mobley. Pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. If my voice sounds a little bit raspy, it's because I was so excited at the Cleveland Cavaliers getting a 2-0 lead over the Orlando Magic with a 96-86 win. Big time team effort from all of the wine and gold. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. My voice is also a little taxed after two games of hooting and hollering at both teams and everyone else in Romo Fijo. Obviously, it feels great. We're up 2-0 in a series where it feels like even when you win a 2-0, you worry like, hey, did they find something? Did they figure something out? And I don't think Orlando has. I think the table stakes of the series are the exact same as they were at the very beginning of game one. And that is a huge win for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, if anything, I feel like the Cavs have gotten a little bit more comfortable against this Orlando Magic defense. One of the points of emphasis that we were really looking for is, do the Cavs get a little more comfortable? Are they able to generate volume from three? The answer tonight, hell yes. It was a much more normal shooting night for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were able to get past that initial line of defense well. They did have that one drought where Orlando went on a 12-0 run. But outside of that, I felt like the Cavs were generating better looks throughout the course of the night. I feel like they did a better job taking care of the basketball. And, you know, just overall, I thought it was a really strong team effort from them.
Yeah, I mean, again, the team was carried by its core. You have Evan Mobley with 17-7. You have Jared Allen with 16-20, tied for second all-time in a single playoff game for Cavaliers. Shout out Kevin Love with his 21. Darius hits some timely threes. He has 15 points. Donovan comes out scorching, you know, definitely slowed down near the end, but hit a couple timely layups that helped ice the game when Orlando was really pushing, and he finished with his 23. So, again, it just feels like, not to keep going back to last year's series, but I felt like the team was not just let down by the roster construction, but were let down by their top four players not playing that well.
Yeah.
And in the second straight game, their top four played great.
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody lives in the moment. We want to make very harsh, dramatic moves as a result of, you know, what we're seeing in front of us. And when it comes to the Cavs, obviously, you know, Jared Allen received a lot of flack for last series against the Knicks. And honestly, I think too much of it was. I think everybody could have been better in that series. But when you're in a matchup against a lot of physical players on Orlando's side, the fact that Jared Allen is the most physical, the most intimidating force out there.
Has 9 offensive rebounds you, buddy.
Like 16 points and 20 boards. Like through 2 games, he has been the most imposing force out there. And it just goes to show, you know, having a little bit of patience, having trust in what you've built from a team building standpoint. I think that that is so important, because when we want to be prisoner of the moment and we want to accelerate the timelines and whatnot, often what people are advocating for might be like, you know, a lateral move to change something up and whatnot, when really one of the most important things that you can have in basketball is chemistry and continuity.
And time.
And time. And Jared Allen, you know, happy birthday to him. A little bit of a belated birthday wish there. 26 years old. He is just entering the prime of his career. We've got a lot of guys on this roster that aren't even close to that yet, but they are impactful players now. And I just can't say enough about how good Jared Allen has been, and just the way that he is doing a dramatically different version and, you know, a more dominant version of what Mitchell Robinson was doing against the Cavs last year. Like, I talk about how Mitchell Robinson didn't have average double-digit points or rebounds in that series. Jared Allen is getting 15 and 15 consistently so far in this series.
Yeah, he's just been so awesome. Some really unbelievable finishes. That you know, trademark rim protection. He had 3 blocks in this game. And again, just the toughness, man. He is fighting. He is pushing every angle. He's using his length. He's high pointing the basketball in crowds. He's coming down strong and getting fouled when Orlando is trying to be overly physical after he's already secured the ball. I mean, Mo Wagner might have had 3 fouls like that today, which, you know, makes sense. He fouled out. And you know, I just think that is like what we didn't see last year. There was a lot of this passivity, and you know, you never know if it's because of personality, you never know if it's because of what the scheme is doing, you never know if it's what the opposition is doing, but whatever it is, the Cavs are dominating the rebounding battle, and part of that is just because, frankly, Orlando's missing a lot more shots. It's always easier to get offensive and defense, or it's easier to get defensive rebounds when the other team isn't scoring. But the Cavs, again, did not have a great offensive great offensive night, but they're winning on the boards. And I think it's fair to say that if the Cavs are winning the rebound battle, the Magic just aren't going to be able to compete in this series.
Yeah, and you know, not only are the Cavs winning the rebound battle, but they are out offensive rebounding. They're generating those second chance opportunities at a higher clip. And Orlando is, you know, they were second best rebounding team in the league. That is one of kind of their points of pride. Like, that is one of their strengths in a series. So when you turn a strength into a weakness, man, like, I wanted the Cavs to compete on the boards and, you know, hold
their
own.
I was hoping to draw dead.
Yeah, if you draw that even, that's a big win for the Cavs. When you turn that into a plus, that's an even bigger plus. And
yeah, the Magic, I mean, and again, it's funny. There's just, you know, we kind of went into the series expecting that, you know, or hoping that the Cavs would kind of teach Orlando some of the same lessons the Knicks taught our team. And, like, talk about how many backbreaking offensive rebounds the Cavs got.
Yeah.
From not just Jarrett, but up and down their roster, where it's like, we can't score. We got to stop. And, they just got the ball again.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many possessions like that. And, like, when your team can't generate offense, those offensive rebounds are just such backbreakers.
Yeah, and I think the thing to keep in mind as well is the Cavs have taken care of business through 2 games, but this is what you're supposed to do. As a home team, you are supposed to win games 1 and 2. It's about consistency. It's about going out there into Orlando and doing the same thing, executing at an even higher level, because you're going to expect Orlando to have a better performance at home, for their role players to play better. Orlando is one of the weaker road teams in the league and one of the better home teams in the league. So I really do still expect a dogfight in games 3 and 4. But your point about, you know, teaching Orlando some of the same lessons, I think it is important to keep in mind, you know, when I'm reflecting back on what the Cavs have been through and, you know, not rising to the moment last year in the playoffs, I would caution people to not do the same thing against the Magic. That is a really talented team. That is a team that makes the Cavs work hard. They've made their pushes, you know, in each of these games.
Yeah, they've had 8-9 minute stretches where you go, like, if they could just bottle that,
yep,
they would be, you know, up 2-0 in the series. But they haven't been able to bottle that.
And they're a team that has been at the top of the Eastern Conference for a lot of this season, right? This is one of the most competitive Easts that we've seen. And, you know, they just, at the last week, we're kind of overtaken by the Cavs and some other teams. So this is absolutely a team on the rise. And I think the respect I have for the Orlando Magic helps fuel the respect that I have for the Cavs. But when you talk about turning a weakness into a strength, I thought one of the other things that really stood out to me was that the Cavs won the turnover battle. That's another area where Orlando is one of the best teams in the league in generating turnovers. And we talked about it a little bit. You kind of expect some of that still from Darius, and you'd expect it from Donovan. They dialed it back just a little bit, only 7 turnovers combined for the two of them. But what I really liked was in game one, Max Strus had 4 of his own. Tonight, 4 assists, 0 turnovers. If you're going to be dealing with a lot of point of attack defense where Orlando's throwing bodies at Garland and Mitchell and they're basically living with the result of, hey, sometimes they're going to call a foul, sometimes, you know, we're going to shove Garland courtside and generate a turnover there. Like, they're okay with that 50-50 proposition. If that's going to happen to the guards, you can't have those turnovers from the role players. And I thought Max and everybody else doing a better job of taking care of the basketball helped the Cavs turn that weakness from game one into a strength.
Yeah, and on the defensive end, I mean, they are just hunting the passing lanes in a way that I haven't really seen them do. This team has traditionally been a, you know, fairly conservative defense. I mean, I don't think that's wrong to say. You know, they're a team that really loves to make you take hard shots and not get out of position in doing that. And, you know, Paolo has 15 turnovers in 2 games. Paolo and Franz had 12 turnovers to 10 assists today. They are not, and I think a lot of credit to that. Sure, it goes to the guards and the wing players who are picking off passes, but I think just as much credit needs to go to Jarrett and Evan and even George, because they're not yielding an advantage on these drives, or the advantage is minimal enough that the Cavs have to take a step towards the basket, not 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at that point they are looking for the spray out because the Cavs are recovering at the point of attack.
Yeah.
It's hard for Paolo and Franz to get clean looks, so they have to kick it out, but they've already picked up their dribble. They're in among the trees. And I just think they're having a really hard time seeing clean lanes. Like, some of that will, you know, falls on the Magic guards and perimeter players that need to flash the ball a little bit better.
Yep.
But man, it's tough sledding for those guys.
Yeah, I think the way that the Cavs have been able to show and recover consistently through 2 games has been really impressive. And like you said, some of it is the limitations of Orlando's roster. But I think when you look at the Cavs post All-Star break, there were times when they were overhelping. There were times when they had, you know, breakdowns as a result of trying to do too much, and I feel like the positioning has been so sound. Like, they just technically, they've been fantastic defensively, and you know that is part of the Cavs identity. Like, this is a matchup between two of the best defensive teams in the league, so for the Cavs to be, you know, defending at this high of a level and making Orlando work, like, I just don't feel like Orlando, you know, through 2 games has been able to consistently generate good looks. There's a lot of possessions that are ending up in a Jonathan Isaac 3, which just should not be happening.
Well, that should be the break glass in case of emergency. And like, that's, you know, it's the no man's land I think we've seen our team in with Isaac in the past when Isaac was slumping, which is the team is asking Isaac to take the 3, and you're like, well, he's got to take it, but you know it did, it, you know, at times in the past it didn't always feel great, and I feel like that's kind of the way Isaac feels as he gets his like 7th straight kick out to the corner, where he's like, well, I guess I have to shoot it, because I, you know, if I don't shoot it, it's even worse. You know, it means worse stuff for our team's offense. And, you know, he only played 20 minutes in this game.
Yeah.
It became very, very clear. And this is something I want to talk about with Jamal Mosley in the macro, is it became very clear that Mosley was starting to scramble a little bit to try to find anyone who could juice the offense. Joe Ingles gets 14 minutes. They threw Caleb Houston out there in the fourth.
Yeah.
Just being like, hey, anyone who
That's a kitchen sink move. Yeah, that's just trying anything.
Yeah, anyone who can shoot, we need you out there. And I think it's really important that, you know, it feels really good that, you know, he tried to tilt these lineups to be a little more offensive. You know, they had Cole Anthony, Joe Ingles, Wendell Carter Jr. trios out there quite a bit.
Yep.
And the Cavs saw the mismatches and just started shredding them on the other side of the floor to the point where he had just to go back to the all-defense group. And, you know, they mustered that late comeback in the fourth, just mucking the game and getting it ugly again. Like, it feels like they tried to do other things, and those other things felt worse than their base plan of attack. And boy, does that feel familiar again to last year, where the Cavs tried some weird lineups, but all in the end they're like, well, I guess our core five are just going to have to try to figure this out.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big differences there is at least through four games, the Cavs starting lineup with Caris LeVert in there at least had a positive net rating, right? Like, they were at least able to play it different or play it even. The different thing with the Orlando Magic is their starting lineup has played 38 minutes, and they are a minus 19.6. That lineup is getting absolutely killed. And, you know, you talk about the Cavs rediscovering their defensive identity and being like, oh, yeah, that's why this roster is constructed in this way, right? Like, yes, it makes sense. Like, you know, all the pieces are coming together. This is what it looks like when it's healthy. The Cavs starters on the other side, plus 15.2 net rating through two games. They played 33 minutes together. Obviously, you know, the staggered lineups are giving you a little more juice offensively, while that lineup is absolutely clamping the hell out of the Orlando Magic. And you know what? I still feel like, you know, they're looking and they're generating good looks. It's just been a couple unforced turnovers. It's been, you know, Max Strus not hitting from three just yet. Garland taking time to get into a rhythm. Like, there is still so much kind of low-hanging fruit when it comes to that lineup, but I'm just feeling better and better about how those minutes are looking for the Cavs.
Yeah, to me, this series has just been a resounding win for the two big look. I mean, these guys have been unbelievable on defense, and they actually did for a short stretch. I don't know what the lineup data ended up being, but for a short stretch, they did what I was hoping they would do in our preview pod with the Dunker Spot, where they threw out Isaac with the two bigs,
yeah,
and just said, "We're gonna kill you. You're not gonna score." And Isaac, talk about a defensive impact in this one. He had four steals in just about 25 minutes. So, you know, I thought they, you know, the two bigs in every configuration is working. And, you know, obviously part of that, like, you might go, man, that, you know, the one big offense certainly would look better if, you know, George wasn't, you know, 0-for in the series from three and stuff like that. But, like, luckily that stuff isn't killing you because, again, your defense has been so strong in every construct that you've put together. You know, I feel like this is a team that, you know, had a few bread and butter defensive lineups over the regular season, but had a couple that you were like, nah, we'll see how this one goes on that end of the floor. Even those ones are doing well against this Magic team. And, you know, I think that, to some extent, just kind of speaks to there's a little bit of a lack of creativity from the Magic's best players. You know, everyone's getting, as long as everyone does their job right now against this Magic team, they're going to get clean looks. But, like, man, what a resounding win for the two big lineups so far. And just for those two individually who are, you know, they're playing playoff basketball and they're coming out the other side looking better.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Yeah, they have a plus 14 net rating in 46 minutes together. And I think it's been really important, too, because through two games, Darius Garland's been getting a pretty tough whistle on the defensive end of the floor. A lot of 50-50 calls that aren't necessarily going his way. A few calls that I would describe differently than 50-50. But again, I'm a homer. That's why my voice sounds like that. I'm a fan at heart. So it is what it is. But, you know, in those minutes when Garland's not available, you've seen JB go, well, you know, we're missing a little bit of offense. Let's just at least win the war. Let's win the battle in the trenches. Let's get some defense out there. Let's go to the two big lineup. And the fact that they have been so productive in a series where, like, Orlando's throwing a lot of size. There was a lineup with Franz Wagner at the two. Like,
crazy.
Everybody's 6'10 plus there. Like, that is a physical challenge, and they are responding with physicality and dictating their terms. And it's really felt like Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. And when you have kind of that signature feel and people know what to expect, it makes things so much better. And, you know, we know what to expect, and we get a signature feel from our sponsor, Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
Justin, I wanted to talk more a little bit about that dictation of terms, because, you know, that is what the playoffs is about at its core, is who's gonna you know, stamp their identity on the series and who's gonna just kind of be pulled along. And, you know, you look at, again, the Magic get up 35 threes. And you look at the you know, attempt distribution. Jonathan Isaac gets up 7. Gary Harris takes 7. Wendell Carter takes 6. Paolo and Franz take 4. Cole Anthony and Joe Ingles play a combined 31 minutes. They get up 2 threes combined. You know, the Cavs are pushing the attempts to the guys that they want to push them to.
Yep.
You know, Suggs only gets 3. In this game. And obviously he had a shorter minutes load because he got hurt, and I cannot believe he played in the second half. Oh. It seems like, you know,
and he was moving well in the second half.
Yeah, so hopefully it was just a scare, and you know, we'll see him the rest of the series, because I do think he presents some really interesting tests for this Cavs team. But it just feels like the Cavs are so in control of the terms of engagement right now for the Magic offense. And then on their side of the ball, they're mismatch hunting. You know, they're getting Donovan on Franz, which that matchup has not fared kindly to Franz.
No.
I feel like Franz is a very good point of attack defender, but Donovan has consistently been able to turn the corner on him.
Yeah.
When Joe Ingles was out there, it was nasty. They were running screen and roll with whoever he was guarding and trying to get him to have to guard in space and switch onto the guards. And when they ended up having to put two on the ball to avoid that, guys were slipping and hitting shots. So I just feel like the Cavs have generally been able to yield, you know, earn themselves an advantage. You know, they missed 10 free throws tonight, and they missed a lot of makeable threes. They still were under 32% or under 31%.
Yep.
For this game. You know, Niang goes 0 for 4 again. Donovan, after a scintillating start, ends up missing his next 8. And you kind of look at that and you go, man, there's still meat on the bone here on the offensive side of the ball, and that's really exciting.
I mean, you can get a stew going pretty easily.
You could, potentially.
That bone looks pretty meaty still. You know, it is really encouraging, and the Cavs almost took a page out of the Magic's book on the offensive end of the floor, where we talked about it a little bit pregame with Kaylee, where, you know, Orlando is very capable of making someone uncomfortable on the offensive end of the floor. They are able to send two to the ball. They are able to, you know, put pressure on those guys and blitz. But if you're doing that, that's going to open up possibilities for someone else. And, you know, nobody on the Cavs had a high assist total tonight, but there's a lot of guys with four. There's a lot of guys with three.
It felt very democratized.
Every time you loaded up on Garland, that opened up opportunities for Donovan, or it opened up opportunities for Karras, or Isaac had his moments, or the bigs had their moments, right? Like, everybody was contributing, and really, again, this goes back to, this is why the team is built this way. You have heard me rant against heliocentric basketball forever, and it's because in the playoffs, if your entire offense is designed around one guy who sets up everybody, and hey, I get all the assists, I get all the points, you know, that is something that you can take away. That's something that you can put a lot of pressure on to that player and break down those offenses. And from a Cavs standpoint, the fact that every single person was able to step up and, you know, you have, as you said, a democratized offense, I thought was really important, because Donovan started off the game strong, then Karras had his run, then it was Isaac Okoro who had a run, and oh my God, a step back three.
Oh, brother, I about passed out in the seat.
That felt so good for him to kind of have his moment. And then to start the third quarter, Evan Mobley, dominant offensively. And then once you start keying in on Mobley, Garland comes out and, you know, really has a strong finish to the third and start to the fourth, like a scoring outburst for him. Then late in the game, Orlando makes another push. They cut it down to nine, and Donovan Mitchell gets you timely buckets. That's what you want. You want to be able to attack in multiple ways, where Orlando sees someone else is getting hot and they scramble to try to put out that fire, and a fire springs up somewhere else. That is the vision of what this Cavaliers basketball roster construction is.
Yeah, and it's just an interesting thing where, like, in the postseason, it's just really easy to, especially looking around the league, in, you know, frankly, less ugly series than this.
Yep.
And you look up and down this Cavs box score, and really it only looks from a box score jump that, like, Jarrett had a good game.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, it so doesn't match what's happening on the floor, you know. I mean, Evan, I thought, was way better on defense in this game than he was in game one.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
God.
And, you know, I some of these offensive possessions where Orlando has an advantage, and he just wipes it out. You know, that's what otherworldly defensive talent is able to do. I thought he was pushing in transition unbelievably well. He would, you know, catch the rebound and you know, stride straight into a push to get, you know, weird cross matches and things like that. I just thought he had a really awesome game. That, you know, 5 for 13 and 17 points and 7 boards. Just doesn't look like a great game, but man, was he awesome in this one, for me at least.
Yeah, you know, people complain that defense doesn't exist in the NBA. This is a hard-fought defensive series. If you are someone that complains about that, I do not want to hear you complaining about this. Our buddy Steve Jones Jr. has been hammering that point, and, like, everything is hard-earned. Like, even when the Cavs are starting to find a rhythm offensively, they have to battle. They're you know, Orlando's picking them up 30 feet from the basket, putting pressure on them. Cavs using some high pick and roll to alleviate that. You know, you see the adjustments in game where JB has Isaac Okoro screening for Garland to try to free him up because Ingles was kind of hiding on Isaac. Orlando says, well, Garland's getting going now. So let's put Suggs on Ingles, or let's put Suggs on Isaac so Isaac can't screen for Garland anymore. And then the Cavs adjust another way, right? Like, you are really seeing a chess match between these teams. It's a very hard-fought series. 15 points in this series is basically a 22-point night in the regular season. Like, there is reverse inflation when it comes to this series, and honestly, I love it. I love this type of basketball. I wish that the regular season games were called like this more frequently, where you just kind of let guys play. But I just thought that the Cavs continue to have shown a lot of toughness, a lot of resilience. They are battling. Like, they are getting hit on every single possession, and they are hitting right back, and the refs are letting it happen. I love this. I think it's been a terrific series through two games.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch for me. You know, again, I like ugly basketball. I like tough defense and really challenging teams to earn their buckets. And I think that's what we've seen in this one. I got to ask you, though, because, you know, they come out, they score 58 in the first half. They only score 38 in the second.
Yep.
Any concerns about the Cavs offense thus far? Or is this just a simple fact of Orlando's awesome on defense?
I have concerns because we still haven't seen it over an extended period of time, right? Like, that was the whole thing that we've been talking about since the post-All-Star break is, can you do it consistently? Can you get 48 minutes? And I don't think you're going to get 48 minutes of great offense against Orlando just because they are so
dominant.
That
means you won by 40.
Yeah, like, they are so dominant on the defensive end of the floor, that's just not possible. But I need 48 minutes of being engaged on the offensive end. And, you know, the slips have been shorter. I've enjoyed that where, you know, there's been a couple times where just feels like they haven't got a good look for 3-4 possessions and Orlando's kind of got out in transition because that's typically when that happens and they make their own run. But the Cavs have done a great job of answering that. But when you look at how good Orlando is at home, yeah, there's concern heading to Orlando because you know you're in for a fight. You know that, you know, that's going to be an absolute war in those two games. That crowd's going to be lively as hell. The Cavs need to go out there and execute. And, you know, that's the type of environment where you need someone like Donovan Mitchell to really set the tone and lead the way. I thought he's done a terrific job of that through two games.
I feel like he's read the moment really, really well in this one so far.
And the funny thing is you always talk about how role players play better at home. I think when it comes to guys like Max Strus and George Niang, they are such veterans that have been around, that have been part of, you know, deep playoff runs. I kind of expect them to step up and be steadying forces in that environment as well, right? Like, you know, the shots haven't consistently fallen yet, but because the Cavs offense is starting to find a little bit more of a groove, I can just see them hitting some of those backbreaking shots in Orlando. And, you know, really the goal is to win one of those two games in Orlando. But the nice thing from a Cleveland standpoint is you get 2 days off before you travel to Orlando. And your mission is to win one of those games. You win game three, obviously, you've almost effectively ended the series. But, you know, you want to be able to come out and set the tone there. Take advantage of, you know, the extended rest of having 2 days off. I think this is obviously a Cavs team that needs it, given everything that they've been dealing with going into this series and given the physicality of this series. But you get 2 days off again after Orlando, after those two games. So from that standpoint, your mission is to get at least one of those games. Obviously, if you can get two, you get even more rest. But if you get one of those, you get another 2 days off, and then you come to this unbelievable crowd at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Dude, it was so loud tonight. I cannot believe how loud it was. It felt like, you know, a shark that smelled blood in the water. Like, they were, I thought, you know, appreciably louder than they were in game one. And they were pretty loud in game one.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this before. It's a smart basketball crowd. Like, the pop that Isaac Okoro got in the second quarter when he checked out of the game, like, the recognition of what he had contributed to that game, it was there. Like, the crowd basically gave him a standing ovation. And, you know, we pull up a lot of stats and data on this podcast. I don't know how frequently this has happened in NBA history, but it felt like that game was being played in a jet engine. Like, it was loud, loud, loud in there. And it's just such an awesome environment. And I think, you know, from a fan perspective, I'm projecting here, but I really do feel like this is a crowd that really responds well when their team is physical, right? Like, that was one of the signature traits that we had with that four finals run, right? Like, we loved when Tristan Thompson was out there generating those second chance opportunities. We loved the physicality that that team was able to impose on the opponent. And the fact that we are playing one of the biggest, most physical teams in the league, and we are doing that to them, I think that adds just a little, that adds a couple decibels to how the crowd is reacting.
Yeah, I think, and there was just, I think the crowd was especially thirsty for it. You know, they really wanted to see this team, you know, do what we thought they could do last year.
Yeah.
And I think they've, you know, I think they've really come out and met the moment. Again, it hasn't been perfect. I think there's a lot of things that they can improve on from an execution perspective, from a shot-making perspective. And, you know, I think, you know, resetting will be helpful. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a dogfight in Orlando, Justin.
Yeah, and honestly, we weren't expecting it to be perfect, right? Like, that was one of the concerns going into the series, was it had been a while. Basically, it had been a while since the Cavs, you know, had everybody available. Everybody's been playing through stuff. They just haven't been playing consistent basketball. I'm seeing a team that is growing up in the playoffs. I'm seeing a team that is rising to the moment, understanding, hey, we still have stuff we need to work on. We still have stuff to clean up, but we have ways to make up for that, right? Like, you know, we have a couple tough offensive possessions. We're going to go out there and make a play on the defensive end, get out in transition. Like, Evan Mobley had, you know, a couple turnovers. I felt like every turnover or missed shot that he had, like a momentum shot, he went down and got a steal on the other end, or he broke up the play, right? Like, everybody is looking to make the next play and not dwelling on their mistakes. And that, to me, is the sign of a team that is maturing and understanding what playoff basketball is all about.
Couldn't say it better, man. I'm really, really proud of what this team has done. Obviously, the series, you know, they always say the series doesn't start till someone wins a road game.
Yep.
That certainly holds true here. Orlando is not a good road team, and they are a very, very, very good home team.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that, you know, ups the impetus to, if this Cavs team, I think what I would say, and I know we're going to wrap here soon, but I would say that my level of seriousness with this playoffs and with this team will kind of depend on how this trip in Orlando goes. You know, if Orlando just runs us off the court two games in a row,
yeah,
you know, I'm certainly going to have a different vibe than if we take one, they take one, and then we close it out in five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like that, those two messages are very, very different. At a, you know, in an important way. So I'm excited to see what they do. You know, again, I think Orlando is going to come out swinging. Game three is the classic road team series where it's like
they're going to try everything.
They're going to try everything, and they're going to fight hard. They're probably going to get a good whistle. You know, all the stuff that happens when you go home, your role players hit more contested shots, et cetera, et cetera. So it's time for the Cavs to try to meet the moment and kind of show us what they're made of.
Hey, at least we're familiar with what happens when Orlando has a good whistle. I'm excited to see what those games look like, because you're right. You know, that is the real test. And, you know, so many people have kind of obsessed and focused about what side of the bracket the Cavs are on and looking ahead and whatnot. Don't overlook this. These are going to be two very hard-fought games in games three and four, and this is an opportunity for the Cavs to make a statement, right? Like, a lot of people, you know, Cavs fans, we pick the Cavs to win this series, but how you win a series, I think, is really important, especially when you're talking about a young team like this Cavs roster. How they go out and how they perform, are they able to close out or, you know, steal one of those games in Orlando against a great, great, great home team? I think would be a real feather in their cap and something that you can be proud of and build upon. And, you know, if you're going to have serious goals about pushing deep in the playoffs, you are going to want to, you know, continue to iron out everything that needs to be ironed out. So, you know, we'll hope to see that the Cavs keep getting better throughout the playoffs. Let's hope that we keep getting better on this here podcast. We will be going live after game three. Big thanks to the Cavs for having us here. Really cool to be doing this in the office. Really cool to be able to, you know, take in this Cavs crowd. It's been absolutely phenomenal. For everyone watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. Click notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of the review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.